Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in D-Lo.
Well, that would be really weird. You better recognize.
That's right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I may have strained my neck right there.
Yeah, if you reach the point in life that anything can happen.
No sudden movement.
That's right.
Allowed, yeah. I am the full-on, like, when I get up out of... I did it the other day on the show. I get up out of the chair, I got a grunt.
Yeah.
Like, I got
It's no longer like you have to get a stinger to get hurt, like in a football game or something.
Oh, no.
You can literally just sleep wrong.
Yeah, and then I'm out.
Yeah, it's time for neck surgery.
That you combine that with what happened to me in Athens when Ryan Nelson kicked that door in my head. And I mean, I'm lucky I can still walk, to be totally honest with you.
Oh, man.
College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are, that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. You want to get the new logos. You're tired of the banner M. Make it happen with College Corner. The holidays are coming up. You know that Black Friday is coming up. We're about a month away from that. That's the day of the Egg Bowl. But if you're not headed, if you are headed to Oxford that day and you need to pick up something on the way, you know they're going to have great specials there. But if you're just doing your Black Friday shopping, fantastic stuff to be found at College Corner. I'll have more details on that as we get there. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Talked with our friends over at Restaurant Tyler today. Very pleased to announce they'll be with us for another year. So they have renewed, they have re-upped. So that means I get to keep talking about how awesome Restaurant Tyler is and how it's one of my favorite places to eat in the whole wide world and how I'm going to have to go get some fried chicken or some catfish this week. And I don't know if you know this or not, Robbie, but if you go get the catfish, if you ask them, they'll give you another piece.
They will.
And that do sound good.
That is the Brian Haydad
special. That is the Haydad special. Blackened catfish, give me an extra piece. Cheese grits, mac and cheese, I'm in.
There you go.
That's the Haydad blue plate special. Don't ask for it by name. They will not know who you're talking about.
They don't even know
who
Brian Haydad.
They don't know. Servers. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I know who they are. I know where they are. I'm going to get lunch there this week. It's Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but how you're going to invest with them, manage your money, and prepare for your future. Now more than ever, it's so important to be able to talk to people about your money, to be able to talk to people in a timely fashion. When you have a question, you get that with Priority One Bank. That's the level of service we're talking about. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Normally, we would start this show on a Tuesday with a recap of Jeff Lebby's press conference, and we will certainly get to that. But, we don't have a lot of hard and fast rules here on this show. But one of them needs to be, if you win the Southeastern Conference Championship, you lead the show the next day. So congrats to Mississippi State Soccer. The ladies bring home their first ever SEC championship. What a I'm just going to make a comment about football versus football.
Mm-hmm.
And there couldn't be a more stark contrast in defensive philosophy than what we're seeing from James Armstrong's squad and Jeff Lebby's squad. You just move the ball at will on the football team. You get whatever you want. The football team, good luck, buddy. You're lucky to get a shot on target out of that group. They are a juggernaut defensively. I saw some rankings. I don't know soccer rankings. I don't know what
the top drawer soccer.
But they're number one in the by God country in that one. The NCAA tournament's coming up. They will be a host all the way through as the SEC champions. Really a fun team to keep up with this year. I will be reaching out to soccer this week. I want to get Coach Armstrong on the big show. We need to get him some some big publicity this week because that team and what they're doing, they're just fantastic to watch.
You talk about the defense and what they're doing there.
In-depth.
Everyone knows
this here from Robbie Falk, who knows it.
Everybody that listens to the show knows that I do not care anything about soccer. I don't know anything about it.
What?
Other than the fact that when you kick the ball through the goal and it hits the net,
okay,
it's a goal. You get one point.
I'm going to teach you something real quick. You ready? All right. So James Armstrong's favorite team is Burnley.
Okay. All right?
Burnley now in the Championship. They're not in the Premier League right now. They were relegated.
They did the relegation.
They were relegated last year. Legendary coach Sean Dyche, right? You would love this guy. Very rough and tumble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just a blue collar guy. Somebody asked him his philosophy on the sport one time. He's like, put the ball in on that end, keep it out of your end.
Yeah,
and I was like, just defined the sport, sir.
That pretty much covers.
That's the Robbie Falk way.
Yeah, and so when I look at. When I watch this team, which I've been watching pretty much every game they play at this point. Like yeah. I'm locked in.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a soccer guy, but this team's been fun to watch.
You're gonna be like, I guess I could watch a little of this Premier League thing and see what Hey Dad's talking about.
But the defensive, I have eyeballs. I know if something's working or not. What they're doing on the defensive end seems to me to be pretty freaking special. I would like to go back. I might actually do this and go back and look at what's happened in the past in the SEC. I would like to know where this soccer team matches up with the rest of the SEC all time for a single season, what they've done defensively. Because they've given up one goal this entire SEC schedule.
Correct.
And three goals the entire year, two of those coming against Wake Forest, who they lost to Duke yesterday.
Yeah.
So they
would have been number one in the nation had they won that game.
They've lost three games and they've actually had two draws. So, you know, State is far and away a better resume, even though Wake Forest beat them. I would say Duke is probably, if it's not State, the number one team in the country is probably Duke.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they won the ACC yesterday. But what's happening with this soccer team, this program, cannot be understated. It deserves more time on this podcast and everywhere else because it really is one of the most unbelievable coaching jobs in Mississippi State sports history.
I mean, they have a really legitimate chance to be the national champion.
This is a national championship caliber team.
Yeah. You can't score on somebody. You can't beat them.
And it's coming in and they're not even – they're finding ways to score themselves. They're not having – games where they're having draws and we see that a lot.
It's not nil-nil.
No.
They're putting the ball in the net too.
They're scoring. And yesterday, they smell blood in the water late in the game. You have a chance to end it. I mean, you're lucky if you can get a goal on Mississippi State. So
again,
two goals.
You're lucky
it's
you can get a shot on target.
Yeah. I mean, and it felt like for a large part of the game, A&M was like living on their side of the field. And they got a few shots, and it's just like they couldn't put it in. Like State just was denying it.
You have a tremendous midfield that's just bossing the entire game. But
I don't know much about it. Is that where Macy Hodge is?
She's a midfielder.
Okay.
So teams that are dominant in the midfield tend to be your best teams because if you can attack, it's great, but you have to be able to control the middle third of the field.
Yeah.
All right. People are going to get opportunities in your box. You're going to get opportunities in the other box. Who controls the midfield usually wins the game. State dominates in the midfield. And then the other thing they have going for them is the fact that the keeper is a stone wall. You cannot get the ball past her. So when you have those two things working for you, I mean, the confidence that team has to be able to play with, knowing when they hit the field, like if we get one, this
one might do
over. You know, it literally is. It's kind of like the 2018 football team should have been.
Yeah.
Should have been like, hey, look, if we can get 14, we're going to be all right.
Because they do have some players that can score.
Yeah, they can put the ball in the net. And I'll be interested to see what happens if somebody can crack the code and they do get into a little bit of a shootout. Can they score three or four goals if they have to? But I think they can. And this is going to be a fun run here when they go to the NCAA tournament and they get to host basically all the way through. And so, I mean, that's just going to – and you got the fan support that you're getting here. What they had Friday night, they had 2,800 or something like that.
They've had
2,867 Thursday night, this past Thursday.
They've had, their top three games, I think, this year.
I mean, you and I have been to games at the Hump where there weren't that many people in there.
It's become a very difficult place to play.
Yeah.
It really has. But
it goes to show one thing, and we were talking about this yesterday with football. Mississippi State fans, when you give them something worth going to,
they'll show up.
Them a team worth supporting, they will show up in droves. Women's basketball learned that. Volleyball learned that. Softball has seen that. Obviously, baseball has seen that through the years. Now soccer is seeing it.
Yeah, volleyball a couple of years ago, like you mentioned, that they had never been in the NCAA tournament. That run they made, they actually finished second in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
They were standing room only in there. And it hasn't followed through. That's been one sport that just it hadn't been able to really solidify itself.
Yeah, they weren't able to build upon that success.
Yeah, and I think they've had a lot of, like, the transfer portal has kind of been in and out for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I still think that they're fighting. They're doing a really good job here late in the season. But you're exactly right. When Mississippi State starts winning in a sport, even if they've never won before, people show up. Yeah. Softball, they went to Super Regional. You couldn't get a ticket. You couldn't get in there. You know, they're baseball and basketball and football are established sports, but I remember going to women's basketball games when I literally one time I counted 50 people in the stands because I actually have followed women's basketball a whole lot longer than Vic Schaefer being here. I was going to games in the early 2000s, and there was nobody there unless it was – if they played Tennessee, there would be a lot of Tennessee people there. Whenever they played Kentucky with Matthew Mitchell, like 200 people from Louisville were sitting behind Kentucky's bench. But whenever Vic Schaefer got that thing rolling, it was the most amazing transformation I've ever seen. And I think, to me, this is on par with that. It's not going to have the scale that women's basketball did where you can put 10,000 people inside the Hump.
Right.
I don't think it's ever going to get to that for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, to me, the coaching job and building the program into what it is becoming, this is a Vic Schaefer-esque rise for James Armstrong.
Agreed.
But what he's done, if you look at the trajectory of the program, you know, he gets here, he has a good season. I think they had a step back 1 year, but the last 2 or 3 years, it's just been a steady build.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think you're at the point, now you're going to have to replace two really good players, especially on this team, and that's going to be huge for them because they returned pretty much everybody from last year. But at the same time, I think you've built something that is sustainable here, and you know, he's done a good job in the portal too.
I was just about to say that. I was like, with the transfer portal,
it might be better than ever.
Players are going to see, wait a minute, they're playing in front of how many people down there? I might want to go be a part of that. I won't be surprised if State has a great transfer class.
Well, I think that's what happened with women's basketball. There was nobody out there, you know, outside of South Carolina and Tennessee that was doing what Mississippi State was doing from a crowd perspective.
You can go back further with baseball.
Yeah.
No, nobody was doing what Mississippi State was doing with baseball, and that's why they were so great for so long. Then everybody caught up. Mississippi State has been able to keep that success for the most part. So,
and that's why, you know, I don't want to go too deep in the weeds, but people that talk about, you know, Mississippi State, you can't do this and that. This fan base is different. I mean, I think it has to do a lot with the intimacy in the city of Starkville with the university. It's just it's a very tight-knit relationship between the university and the city of Starkville. Everything revolves around Mississippi State and Starkville. Like, people live and die with Mississippi State athletics. Mm-hmm. It's not like that at a lot of college towns. You know, even Austin, Texas, like the city of Austin is not 100% locked in with the University of Texas. You know, that it's a big city feel. People move there just to be there. People move to Starkville to be around Mississippi State sports. Like, that is what – that's all we have in this area. So, to say, like, Mississippi State can't do this, can't do that, you have a fan base that sells itself. When things are going the right way, and even when they're not, you know, I thought 2 weeks ago you have a 1-6 or 1-5 program at the time. I think that, you know, you come back and you have 45,000-50,000 people at the game. That spoke volumes.
Mm-hmm.
This fan base is very strong. It's a fan base that's very supportive, and they're willing to forgive about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Utilize it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
This is a perfect example right now with the soccer team.
I agree. We'll keep keeping up. And like I said, I'm going to try to reach out and see if we can't get Coach Armstrong on. If we can't get him on Sports Talk, we are for sure going to have him on this podcast this week.
Well, you know he'll be willing.
Oh, yeah. He'll come on here to talk a little Premier League with me as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I keep waiting on him to invite me over for a pint. I'm just, you know, when are we going to do that, Coach? That's what I want to know. Let's talk about Coach Jeff Lebby. Very, very intentional podcast today, or press conference today. First off, I think this is something that happens a lot with our fans, and I don't want to chide anybody today. We did enough. Yesterday was about being critical. Today we're going to try to. But what I want to tell you is this: I think some people go into these press conferences with a thought process that I'm going to stand up, or you're going to stand up and be like, "Have you fired that idiot yet?" And it's just never going to happen. I want to give full credit to our friend John Sokoloff. He asked a question without saying, "Are you going to fire Coleman Hutzler?" He asked a question that was designed to get a good answer. Lebby is a master coach speaker, though, and got around it. And there was a lot of coach speak today. So if I were going to point out the sign, and the sign is brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs, who want to remind you that if you are spending money on printing, and if you own a business, I know that you are, if you're not spending money with the best, then you're wasting your money. So don't do that anymore. Just stop it. And call my friend Cam Baker at Pitt Printing and Signs and put 30 years of experience here in this state to work for you. Whatever the message of your business is, Pitt Printing and Signs can help you get that message out there, get customers coming in the door, and keep them coming in the door for years to come. 601-499-5216. Talk to Cam. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. They'll help you see the sign. The sign today is this. Hutzler's going to be here till the end of the season. I'm not gonna concern myself with it any longer. Should he go? Yes. Today, Ted Roof was fired, an experienced defensive coordinator who'd been at Central Florida. They aren't having a good year. They make a move. If Ted Roof, a guy who with years of experience, can be fired today, a guy like Coleman Hutzler could be too. But that is not going to happen. I am now convinced of it, because if this was the week to do it, right? To get him in there for UMass, let him have a game where there's not a ton of pressure on anybody.
And also you have, like, you can kind of get some grace with the fan base.
Right.
They see that you're trying to improve the team. This is unacceptable. You can't have this
right
happening at Mississippi State. That would be, to me, it would be a really good move.
Yeah, and if he led off the press conference today with, before I take questions, I want to make a statement that we have decided – to remove Coleman Hutzler as defensive coordinator. You know, we wish him well in his future endeavors. We do just Laurinaitis him, right, basically.
Yeah.
And Matt Barnes is going to be taken over as our defensive play caller. We've elevated, I don't know who the grad assistants are and all that. We've elevated them to linebacker coach for the time being. We'll reevaluate this at the end of the season. But what happened on Saturday, the standard thing. Everybody is like, okay, he gets it. We're going to be all right. We're going to fix it. It's going to be okay.
People can live with that.
And I think people, when we get to the end of the season and it happens, it'll be okay. People will just be like, all right, he understood. He understood what he had to do.
But it better happen.
It has to happen.
Absolutely. If it doesn't happen, and what he's saying in the press conferences is actually reality, because like what he said in the press conference,
talk about that, yeah.
So people were kind of jumping to conclusions on what he's saying, like everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just refuse to believe that he's, that's what he truly believes. I think that he's giving us coach speak. I think he's not wanting to throw anybody under the bus. I think he's giving us the bare minimum. And that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that if your actions are different. If he goes out and, this truly is unacceptable to him and he's going to get a new defensive coordinator, then whatever he says, it's just going to roll off everybody's back, and that's going to be fine. But if he doesn't make a move after the season, if he's running it back with Coleman Hutzler, if he's just making like one or two changes on the staff defensively, buddy, there's a lot of people in this fan base that are going to have no faith in Jeff Lebby.
Yeah.
Because, again, it could be all talent. He said today that it's not one person's fault. It's a mixture of things. And I kind of agree with that. I really don't believe this is all Coleman Hutzler's fault. I think that he deserves blame.
Yeah. If Coleman Hutzler was calling the exact same defenses with the 2018 defense, you wouldn't notice it.
He has the players. Like, I don't think he's just, it's like what you've said before. Like, I don't think this guy's an idiot.
Right.
I don't think he knows way more about football than you and I combined. Like, five times more than you and I combined. He's a guy that understands football. He knows it. I just don't think it's working. I don't think he's running what he needs to run with the personnel that he has. And on top of that, he doesn't have good personnel. So it's not all his fault. But in order to fix this, you got to move on. I can tell you how this is going to end if you keep him. And it's going to end with a new head coach and a new coordinator down the line, because it's not going to work. You can't put the product Mississippi State's putting on the field out there next year. It's got to be drastically different. And it can still be not very good, but it's got to be making a drastic improvement, a lot like we saw with Mississippi State's pitching coach, Scott Foxhall. I mean, to me, it's the same thing. You needed to move on. You know, the well was poisoned at that point. There was no coming back from it for Scott Foxhall, and he's done some good things in his career, just like Coleman Hutzler has done. But in order for Mississippi State to push forward on the defensive side of the ball in the offseason, it's got to be with the new defensive staff. There's no way around it. And it doesn't take Vince Lombardi or the Schwab or whoever you want to put in that category to make that decision or to make that determination. I think we can all watch that at this point and say, even the person that doesn't know what's happening can say this isn't working. So I had no thought in my mind that they were going to make a change this week. And, you know, it would still be a massive surprise if it happens before the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But it's got to happen before the end of the season. There's no way around it.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we get to – my birthday is the day after the Egg Bowl.
A man making $1 million with the single worst defense in the country is unfathomable to me.
Yeah.
Like, I could do that. Like, you and I, we could go do that. I will take $1 million to fail tremendously. I'll do that.
I'll do half.
I'll do it.
Yeah. My birthday is the day.
We're just going to have an all-out blitz.
Yeah.
And we're going to pick up – folks, we're going to pick up a sack.
I'll get
my – by God, we're getting a sack. Mississippi State can't get a sack right now, but Brian Haydad and Robbie Faulk are going to get one. We might give up 800 yards passing, but we're going to get a sack.
I expect a birthday gift from Jeff Levy. November 30th, that's my birthday. I expect a gift.
You want a gift? You want a new
form? I expect a gift.
Hey, did you see who the I saw somebody named Shaul Wood, the defensive coordinator of the week. And
is it Shaul?
I don't know.
We got to find that out, I guess. You know what? It's going to be
called. It's not Shiel.
Who was the player? Oh, it was DJU in the portal last year. I said if he commits, I'll learn how to pronounce his name. He didn't, so I'll worry about
how you pronounce.
I'll worry about that when the time comes.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah, let's move into the rest of the show. Our SEC picks is brought to you by – did you listen, by the way? Do you know if you took Kentucky or not?
Oh, shoot, I didn't listen. Should I pull it up on my phone?
Pull it up real quick. You do that. And
You go through the ad read. I'll listen.
Yeah. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you're not cooking out, you want to make it easy on yourself, we have so many great steakhouses in the state. You just can't go more than a mile down the road without finding one. So check it out today if you haven't already. Head to your local grocery stores. Talk to your butchers. Put some meat on the grill this weekend. Put some beef on the grill this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. I know that you are looking for a great place to eat when you come to Starkville. Two Brothers, it may be the one for you. They've made some small changes to their menu, but they've added some really cool stuff. I love the build-your-own basket with the fries or the nachos. You can put whatever meats and cheeses and vegetables and sauces you want on there. Do it up, man. Have a good time. And if you want something a little more refined, a little fancier, there's always the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. Was there just a few weeks ago, or was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah. I can't get over how small that place is, yet how many people are coming in and out of it at all times. They're doing a great job there with the service as well. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District, two of my favorite restaurants in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 50 years.
50
years. 50 years of taking care of their customers, 50 years of taking care of you. If you need business technology, give them a call. Then if you need service on something they've sold you, it's just a phone call away. And it's the same number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not being on hold for 45 minutes. It's not, our business
is so important to you.
Please. I hear myself in the background there. Please.
You can hear yourself?
Yeah, just a little bit there. Hold as our menu options have changed. Again, I don't know why Neil Price is the voice for that.
Hi there.
And hail state. If you're having a problem with your copier, you're just going to have to wait. No, you don't have any of that to deal with at Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Where you're at any Mississippi State game, if you're in Starkville and you need MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They've got the selection that's better than anybody else's. They've got all the name brands you're looking for. They've got unique items you cannot find anywhere else. They have the Bulldog Initiative line, so the exclusive provider. Whatever it is that you're looking for, it's right there at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code, THUNDER15, 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you're at the games, you need to be at Maroon & Co. You know, what's funny about this whole thing of you doing that is you're on camera now. So the listeners have seen you listening. Did you listen?
Yeah, I picked Auburn.
You took Auburn, so you're three up. Three up on me now.
All right. That was an ordeal, man. We just like, I mean, it's like the last 10 minutes of the show is our picks. Like, we're talking a lot.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's how it goes. All right. Well, then I'm three behind. I got to get one back here. I got to get back in this game.
I'm not playing here defense. I want to make that clear. I've not played defense.
Let me make my picks here with Lawrence Taylor over there. Here we go. Early morning game. Number 19 Ole Miss at Arkansas. As we saw last week, Arkansas, the greatest offensive team in the history of college football.
True.
Ole Miss has been struggling on offense lately. Rebels are a 6.5-point favorite. So let's do this. The one we're not going to pick this week is Maine at Oklahoma. We will let, even though, hey, you never know. Can you imagine?
That would be our second game this season, I think, that we were like, I think we'll both take whatever. Yeah. That'd be the second time this year.
That was Vanderbilt, Alabama was the previous
one. It was.
Might have been Arkansas, Tennessee, too.
I think Oklahoma did look better the other day.
They'll win.
I think they'll be fine.
They'll win. All right, so I'm going to go first. So how many games do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 5 games. So I will pick first on 3, and you will pick first on 2.
Okay.
It gives me a little bit of an advantage, which I need. I think this game, Fayetteville has been a house of horrors for Ole Miss.
Arkansas has had to be like god awful the times they lose.
The last time Ole Miss won in Arkansas, that game was in Little Rock.
Yes.
They haven't won in Fayetteville in a long, long time.
Weird things happen in this game.
Can I pull the trigger? I gotta pick one upset here. I'm gonna go with this one. It's as good as any. I'll take the Hawks here. What do you got? He's thinking about playing defense over there.
I really do feel like Ole Miss is going to win this game, because I think that it feels like Ole Miss is going to get back into the playoff conversation this week and then go into that Georgia game. Like, I just feel fate is going to control that.
Okay.
Ole Miss is going to get back into the playoff conversation. They're going to be talking about how they're right back in there. If they beat Georgia, they're going to be in, all that stuff. I think that's what's going to happen. I think this game's going to be weird, though. The difference in the two teams is Ole Miss's defense is really good, mm-hmm. and Arkansas is average on the defensive side. I think Ole Miss's defense is going to get stops against Arkansas, and Arkansas is going to struggle to stop Ole Miss. Now, if they're forcing turnovers, if this looks like 2020 Arkansas Ole Miss, and they start to really get inside Ole Miss's offense's head, because even against Oklahoma last week, kind of disjointed, you know, a little lackadaisical at times, their offense is not in its groove. I don't know if it's a Trey Harris thing. Like, he hasn't been, totally in there. When he has been in there, he's been leaving the game. I don't know if that has something to do with it. I think the rushing attack probably has something to do with it, too. They're not what they want to be running the football. But if they're struggling on the offensive side, then Arkansas can win this game. I feel like Ole Miss is going to win it.
All right, so you got the Rebels, I got the Hawks.
So there we go. I mean,
so at this point, if I don't win this one, I'm gonna. There's no chance. It's basically over.
Unless I just try to get cute and I start,
which you won't.
I start backpedaling to the end zone instead of just
you spike the ball at the one.
Yeah.
All right, Vanderbilt
throw it in the crowd like Soto Traore.
Yeah, Vanderbilt at Auburn. Diego Pavia returns to the same. Diego Pavia 2-0 lifetime against Hugh Freeze. He beat him at New Mexico State too, or at Liberty.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's never lost to Hugh Freeze.
No way.
Yes.
You know who the key is behind all this?
Who's that?
Jerry Kill.
He is. I have come to the conclusion that if Jerry Kill didn't have the health issues he had, he would be one of the top five coaches. He would be at like Ohio State right now, or
I think he's the key to all this. I really do.
Well,
like when and Diego too. Diego Pavia is the he's the catalyst. He's made it all work.
Right.
Am I picking first?
Yeah, it's your turn.
I'm going Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
Auburn is mentally weak.
No question.
Auburn's mentally weak. Vanderbilt is mentally tough. And if one thing goes wrong in this game for Auburn, it's going to start out unraveling. That they already are like talking about Diego Pavia is their leading rusher.
I can believe that.
537 yards. Wow. They're already talking about like Hugh Freeze is already mentioning like losing to Diego before. Like that's already in their head. So if they get any kind of like success early, this could be a route. So I'm going Vanderbilt.
I was always going to go Vanderbilt. I've been going. I would have picked Vanderbilt 3 weeks
after the Bama game.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah,
yeah. So, all right. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville, Georgia is a 16.5-point favorite over Florida. I'll give Florida some credit. They're playing better. I really do think the moving Lagway into the starting lineup, it's unfortunate what happened to Graham Mertz, but I think that may have saved Billy Napier's job.
Yeah.
He will definitely beat Florida State. That's 5-7.
Got a chance at a bowl.
And then it's just, can they find a way? Their best chances are two home games with LSU and Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance in those games. That's 6-6, and then you're fine. This is not the day, though. Georgia will dominate this game. I will take the Bulldogs.
We talked about Diego Pavia leading the team in rushing for Vanderbilt. Their leading rusher at Florida has 373 yards.
Yeah, they don't run the ball well.
Like, and Georgia doesn't really either.
Georgia has been disappointing running the football this year.
But Georgia has a playoff on their mind, national championship on their mind. There's no way I think they lose this game. I think they're going to win it.
All right, so we both take the Bulldogs there. The top team in the SEC, not by ranking, but by where they are in the conference standings, the Texas A&M Aggies, is it going to be a letdown against a South Carolina team that is kind of up and down this year?
I have no clue what they are.
A&M is only a 2.5-point favorite.
That's wild.
That might be my fishy line of the week.
That is wild because
– might be.
To me, South Carolina just doesn't do enough offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going up against, in my opinion, one of the best defensive lines in the country. And what you do well is – run the football with Rocket Sanders and Lenore Sellers when he's, you know, on point. I just don't. And now with Marcel Reed's got to be the guy. I haven't seen if Mike Elko said anything today, but Marcel Reed's got to be the guy. And they're a totally different team with Marcel Reed at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with A&M here. And South Carolina's so weird in that, like, they have that game against Kentucky, like they did with Kentucky at the time, was mm-hmm. felt like a solid team. Alabama, they're right in the game with them. You know, LSU, you never know when they're going to show up, but the median is they're not great.
Yeah.
And
just an average team.
I think that's what's going to show here.
Yeah, I'll take the Aggies as well. There's just no chance. They're due for a letdown. Maybe the game's closer than you think. Maybe that 2.5 is about right, but they'll win. Kentucky at Tennessee. I don't think they do the Bourbon Barrel anymore, which is just a damn shame. One of my favorite trophies in college football. But
it was a trophy?
Yeah, the Bourbon Barrel.
State needs another trophy.
Well, they you know what it should be? It should be with A&M.
Yeah.
And it should be like a dog, you know.
They had a dog bowl.
Yeah.
Like
so it needs to be a bowl.
I think it was like the vet schools did it.
Yeah.
But that should be
bring it over to the football.
And just call it the Maroon Bowl.
And you know what I've said this before, and I really believe it. The winner of that game, the loser of that game should not be allowed to wear maroon the next
yes.
year. Whether it's home or away, you have to wear all white.
But it feels like the two teams kind of refuse to do it.
Well, you know, it might be fun.
I would love to see, A&M and State or Arkansas and State have a rivalry like that.
The only thing
I don't know what Arkansas and State would be.
The only question I have with that is that are you going to be playing those teams every year?
Yeah.
Once we get out of this cycle, I don't know the answer to that. This is me picking first again. I'm obviously going to take Tennessee though. Kentucky didn't have much.
Kentucky stinks.
Kentucky is so bad offensively. They must be so mad that they took Mississippi State off their schedule.
And Mississippi State's mad that Kentucky's off the schedule. Because I think State would have a chance against them.
They'd have a chance.
Because their offense doesn't do enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, they haven't played Mississippi State's defense.
I mean, their defense isn't, like, setting the world on fire either, and that's been their thing. That was a now Mark Stoops is stuck there.
Yeah.
Like, him not being able to go to A&M is, like, the worst thing that's happened to him because he's stuck there now. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to go down on his salary, so they're going to have to continue to pay him – you know, 10 mil or whatever they're having to pay him to be, you know, by their standards, usually better than what they are. And I mean, he's had the best run of anybody there, but it's still mid. They haven't done anything special. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee too. Tennessee's another team that's trying to trim back upwards. I mean, they've still only lost one game. Like, they're still very much in the hunt. Mm-hmm. They've only lost one game, so that's a team that's still very dangerous.
All right. The game to watch, Ole Miss and Arkansas. I was going to be cheering for Arkansas anyway, so it's no big deal to add a little juice there for me. We'll see what happens Saturday up in Fayetteville. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Robbie will fire off the tweet, send in your questions. I'm happy to answer them. I will only answer one question about when are they going to fire Coleman Hutzler. That's whoever gets in first, you win. Everybody else, you're out. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.